Hello everyone, I am Dr. C.J. Varghese, welcoming all of you to the Global GNM Health Tips Day 328. Yesterday we started our discussion on the SBS of the extraocular muscles responsible for the movement of the eyeball. We learned the biological conflicts and understood that it is the strabismus or squint that occurs during the CA phase of the SBS of the extraocular muscles. Depending on the specific muscle that is affected, of course, depending on the specific conflict situation, there are a number of possible types of strabismus which we are going to learn today. It will be followed by the study of the healing phase symptomatology of the extraocular muscles also. The first variety of strabismus we are going to learn is strabismus esotropia. Here, the appearance of the eye may be called cross-eyed, meaning one or both eyes are deviated inward. If the lateral rectus that pulls the eye outward is paralyzed, eye tends inward. If the right or left side is affected, the conflict is associated with the mother-child or partner determined by his biological handedness. The second type is strabismus exotropia. Here the appearance of the eye may be called wall-eyed because one or both eyes are deviated outward because of the paralysis of the medial rectus. Here again, if the right or left eye or both are affected, the biological handedness and whether the conflict or conflicts are related to mother-child or partner become the determining factors. The third type is strabismus hypertropia, meaning one or both eyes are deviated upward because of the paralysis of the inferior rectus. As in the case of other muscles, the side affected is determined by one's biological handedness and whether the conflict is mother-child or partner-related. Similarly, the fourth type called strabismus hypotropia, meaning downward deviation of the eye, is because of the paralysis of the superior rectus. Finally, there is another type of strabismus called cyclophoria as the fifth variety. Here, the axis of one or both eyes are rotated inward or outward due to the paralysis of the oblique muscles. Here also, the side is determined by one's biological handedness and whether the conflict is mother-child or partner-related. In all the five types of conditions of strabismus, the paralysis occurs due to the conflicts linked to the extraocular muscles. Possible conflicts are once again repeated and please understand each one of them. They are one of the following three types. 1. Not wanting to look in a certain direction. 2. Not being allowed to look there. Or 3. Not being able to look there. Now we enter into the healing phase of the SBS of the extraocular muscles. The necrosis or the cell loss of the conflict active phase is reconstructed during the healing phase. The paralysis of the conflict active phase reaches into the PCLA of the healing phase. As in the case of any other striated muscle, the epileptoid crisis is characterized by the involuntary eye movement called nystagmus. Depending on the exact nature of the conflict and the type of the muscle affected, the eyeball may flutter up and down or side to side. These flutters can be recurring due to setting on a track that was established when the first conflict really took place. With a generalized seizure, as in grand mal, involving the entire motor cortex, there can have uncontrollable eye movement. At the end of the healing phase or during the PCLB or after the epileptoid crisis, the function of the eye muscles or their ability to control the eye movement returns to normal. As in the case of any other striated muscle, the eye muscle will be stronger than before at the end of the healing phase. This principle is applicable to all the organs controlled from the cerebral medulla. They all work more efficiently after completion of the healing phase. There are a few other conditions affecting the appearance of the eye, but they are not due to the affections of the extraocular muscles. For example, bulging of the eyes or proptosis or exophthalmos is caused by an enlargement of the structures within the eye socket. Here, the globe of the eye is pushed out of the orbit like a telescope. It can be due to continuous swelling of the tear gland. A buildup of connective tissue also can cause this type of displacement of the eye. Then it is due to a light self-devaluation conflict. Another common condition of protrusion of the eyeball is alleged by conventional medicine as associated with Graves' disease or Basedow disease is hyperthyroidism. According to GNM, there is no causal relationship between an overactive thyroid and the protrusion of the eyeball. Conventional medicine fails to explain why only one eye is affected. There is another type of deviation of the eyeball having no relation with the striated extraocular muscles. It is due to the affection of the smooth lateral rectus muscle supplied by the sixth cranial nerve or abducens nerve. It originates in the pons part of the brainstem exactly in the control centers of the kidney collecting tubules. Therefore, the lateral rectus muscle pulls the eye outward when there is an abandonment conflict or existence conflict. Since the controlling center is in the brainstem, there is no crossover correlation, and therefore, during the conflict active phase, when the conflict impacts in the respective kidney collecting tubules relay, that particular eye deviates to the corresponding side. If both sides are affected, that means with two active abandonment or existence conflicts involving kidney tubules, both eyes deviate sideways. We will study these changes when we will learn the KCT or kidney collecting tubules constellation. This is commonly called amblyopia or a lazy eye. Friends, here we conclude our discussion of the SBS of the extraocular muscles. Hope you got answers for your search for the meanings of many a common eye conditions. Please continue learning GNM. I am Dr. C.J. Verghese from Kerala, India.